Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Thursday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Rice and Dr. Hayes as co-hosts. We warmly welcome you to the show and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is March 20th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your process. So now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Well, hey there, young lady. Thank you for that welcome, and it's a delight to be here. It's a delight to actually be able to connect and have it work for a change. And I think we've finally got a formula that's working well. And we are up in the mountains in Costa Rica, up north of Dominica, and I have some awesome bamboo poles that are probably about 7 inches in diameter. They're part of the structure of this house that we're in. We're just on our way to take a look at the property that we're holding. The space will become Heartland South in Costa Rica, a place for doing some television production, a place for bringing forward the work into another area of the world. And one of the nice things about Costa Rica is there are people from all over the globe that spend time here, and I think it's going to be a huge opportunity to take the work to the next level. And the work, of course, is the work of forgiveness. And we want to change your mind about forgiveness if you believe that forgiveness has got anything to do with how somebody else did something to you that was so terrible, but you're going to be big about it and forgive them. We're going to ask you to throw that definition totally, completely out the door. That's got absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness. We've been tricked. We have been conned. We've been conned into believing that somebody else is the problem in our lives, and if we just forgive them, then things will get better. Absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Well, the best suggestion I have is anytime you think forgiveness, substitute the word removal. Anytime you think somebody needs to be forgiven, ask yourself if you can remove them, and obviously that's not the answer. Then people say, well, you mean I forgive myself? No, you don't remove yourself. That's called suicide. Not a nice thing. But rather, if you're in pain or turmoil and your mind is telling you that you're pain and turmoil about some circumstance in your life, then we're going to invite you to move out of the blame game. We're going to invite you to recognize that anything that happens inside of you is something that happens and has nothing whatsoever to do with what's going on outside of you, except that the outside becomes the trigger. The trigger is not the cause. If you think that the trigger for something that's inside of you is the cause of what's inside of you, then you're going to do a huge amount of work and not get it anywhere. What I want you to do is come into an understanding of the technology of how to remove pain and trauma from the human energy system. A man named Yeshua 2,000 years ago, he's popularly known as Jesus, it was not his name, was not a religious figure. He was a teacher of forgiveness. He taught people the psychological dynamics of how this human organism works. He taught people the physiological dynamics of how this organism works. He taught how the physics of the world works, and in particular taught how to remove what never belonged in your system, and that was the capacity to generate any form of hostility or fear. Properly termed, that action, removing what doesn't belong, is called forgiveness. So that's what we're here to support you in learning. That's what we're here to learn ourselves on deeper and deeper levels as you move into the space where you recognize that all you have to do is clean up your genetic history, and then you get to incarnate as a true human being. And that term human being is applied to anyone who has, generally speaking, anyone who has what we call a physical body. And we have a different definition for you. Just because you have a physical body does not mean that you're human. Human means that the active presence of love is in you. If you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. And if you're not living with one of those, not the newborn, the active presence of love, then stop pretending that you've got a human life and get to work creating one. Get to work, pardon me, I shouldn't say creating, uncovering the one that you are, removing the hostility and fear that makes up a false picture of who you think you are. You go back 2,000 years ago and Yeshua said, in order for you to live, you've got to die. He was not talking about killing your physiology. He was saying that you had to remove the self that you thought you were and replace it with the truth of who you are. And then you live. That's when human life starts. So when we stop blaming others for everything that's going on in our lives and begin to function out of the active presence of love, whatever's going on in our world, that's when human life really begins. So we're here to support you in beginning or strengthening and carrying on with the truth of your human life. And we're honored and blessed and delighted that you're here to share with us. We're honored and blessed and delighted that we get to do this show every day. And that when we don't get to do it, Dr. Tim is there and Michelle is there to support us. Let's say hello to the young man. Is Dr. Tim with us?
He is. We don't know if he's
awesome.
Turned on. But
how do you be, sir?
I'm doing beautifully, thank you.
He is. I can hear you loud and clear.
Great. Well, and I'm pleased to be able to say the same of you. I can hear you loud and
yes,
clear.
Yes, so am I. Yes, it's a blessing. I think we've got the formula figured out. We actually drove. We had an appointment with this real estate agent, and we're out in, you know, kind of the boonies, and he invited us to his home, which is up at the top of a mountain. And we got to the top of the mountain and got to see his internet signal about 45 seconds before the show logged in. And so here we are with a good, strong signal. And thanks to the magic of technology, much appreciation to Blog Talk Radio and to Carol Guy for facilitating us and giving us the opportunity to talk with everybody 5 days a week and open that conversation of support.
And
anything exciting in your world, Dr. Tim?
Well, I just want to add to that I think the vast majority of people who are benefiting from this program are benefiting from the archives. So that's just a wonderful system that lets this conversation continue and this support of people go on. And then people can tap in after work, in the morning before they go to work, if they work in the afternoon, in the middle of the night. It's just a great little system. And I have made use of that system numerous times in the middle of the night when I wake and I'm just wide awake and everything's flowing well, and I think, well, let me listen to that show I missed. And so, of special benefit, I think, is the benefit to be able to go back and listen to the key shows, those that are listed on the website that explain the worksheet process, and those when we have guests like Dale Allen Hoffman, for those of us who don't own his CDs, although he has some beautiful CDs available, this is such a gift you're giving to be able to go back and listen to the Aramaic Friday archives from March of 2012 and January of 2013 and January of 2014. And then, of course, every Friday in January of 2014. I'm sorry, of the entire year of 2014, we'll have continuing shows. So that's where my
pretty
thoughts
awesome,
are right
isn't it?
Now. Say again?
Yes. I am most appreciative of the fact that we have those archives and they're available for eternity. You know, we've got these digital files that are so far and wide spread across the planet and in so many people's hands that they will just continue to move throughout humanity. That's the space I hold. They'll continue to move throughout humanity for all of eternity and be support in moving into that technology of forgiveness and that Aramaic understanding that is just so awesomely powerful.
Well, we were...
So, Dr. Tim, are you seeing any patterns or anything to share today that is on your mind?
Well, I think the biggest thing so far today is this, the cultural conditioning that says we're defective. Core, that kind of original sin business, even if people weren't raised Catholic, they've got this negative conclusion about themselves that's buried in a variety of different experiences that from which they downloaded beliefs, and the theme that's happened so far in sessions today is people just being shocked at how different they can feel when they cancel the goal. And this takes me back to the worksheet that was done Tuesday night in our group. We had someone who was canceling a goal for themselves as an adult doing the worksheet in the group on Tuesday. And then when she did, she saw an image of interactions much, much earlier in her life. And as she was working with that process, she was getting kind of stuck and agitated. And I simply asked her, so from that perspective, at that age, what goal might you have been holding that wasn't getting met? And why don't you try just helping that younger version of yourself cancel that goal? And the shift was amazing. And so... You know, it's true at so many levels. It reminded us that we have one person in our group who extended that to another level when she realized, you know what? She's done a lot of work canceling the goals that she has for herself, and she opened up a whole new cupboard full of messes and goals to be canceled when she realized she was still holding goals for herself that other people had set for her. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that. That's the theme for today, how the tremendous relief people feel when they can actually consciously cancel a goal, and oftentimes a goal they weren't consciously aware of holding.
For sure. That's such an important point, and realizing that all behavior, all perception is driven by goals, and that the only way to get rid of a goal is to either achieve it or cancel it. And, you know, people who have come to believe that others set goals for them tend to have resentment toward authority. They were people who were brought up with authorities who taught them that once the authority framed a goal, which is all somebody else can do for you, that they were required to set it, that the process of setting it became so unconscious that they actually thought the authority was setting the goal. And refining that understanding to recognize that the only way a goal can be active in my mind is if I set it. I can frame a goal for somebody else. Somebody else can frame a goal for me. And if the authorities in my life taught me that they were in charge, and they were going to run my life, then they taught me that the center of control was outside of me, and then I unconsciously came to set the goals that they framed. And to recognize that process allows a huge opening for healing of resentment toward authority, and to realize that I've done this to myself. There's a great story about Emerson, who was one who was determined to live and be in charge of his own life. And there's a story about when the town fathers saw fit to put some sort of a tax that he felt was totally illegal and totally immoral and refused to pay it. So the town fathers, of course, and as all town fathers and all government around the world wants to do, played the authority that says, I'm setting this goal, you've got to fulfill it. And Emerson said, thank you, sir, but I hear your input, and your input doesn't hold water. You can't set my goal for me. You can hold the gun to my head, you can put me in a prison cell, but you can't make me fulfill that goal. You can't set it for me. So he refused to set that goal, and he was ended up sitting in a jail cell. You know, one of the games of authority is to try to force you to frame or to set the goals that they frame for you and therefore fulfill them. And Blake, the poet, apparently was a friend of his and lived in the same town. And Blake went to see him in jail and, you know, said, you know, Ralph, what are you doing in jail? You know, what are you doing in there? And Emerson reflected back to him that he had no control over his own life with the question, no, Blake, the real question is, what are you doing out there? Why have you kowtowed to an immoral, illegal influence? Why have you fulfilled a goal that allows authority to get away with insanity? And, you know, you look at the way most of the world works today and the depth of insanity. You know, you go to places like Washington, D.C., and you look at the illicit sex and the illicit drugs and the alcohol and the money that flows, and these people are supposed to know how to run your life and frame goals for you, which they try to force you to set. It's always up to each individual to determine whether the goal that's been set will be fulfilled by one. And when you start canceling the goals that you unconsciously set at the from the force of others, then you start to realize that the locus of control is internal. It's not external. Most authorities want us to believe it's external. And when you bring it back inside, there's where the empowerment comes from. And that's the awesome thing about this seeming backward process of forgiveness. When you start canceling the goals you hold, even the most wonderful goals, if they agitate or resonate some form of hostility or fear in you, you want to cancel them so that you can dump your hostility and fear and get back to a sane mind. It's such a brilliant understanding that Yeshua brought to us 2,000 years ago. And, you know, as you're expressing your appreciation, Tim, for what we have here, I certainly have such appreciation for the fact that I kind of happened into and accidentally found the Aramaic Yeshua and got to work with his original words and got to a place where we were able to decode some of them and put them into the classroom and put them to work. And it's just like when you get to the real Yeshua and the real work he taught, it's monumental and pretty cool.
Well, you know, when you were talking, I kept seeing the image of this cartoon I saw recently where a gentleman from the oil company is testifying before Congress. And he says, now here in this graph, you can see how we drill holes into the ground and then we pump milk and cream into the holes. And then we send kittens down into the holes and they lap up the cream and that tickles the earth. And then the earth sends out all of this beautiful oil. And the congressman said, are you seriously telling me you want me to believe that kittens lick the earth and that's what makes the oil come up? And the person from the oil company says, if you want to keep receiving all the subsidies we're giving you, yes. And the congressman says, kittens it is, then.
Yes, kittens it is.
And then the other
people
thing
will
that,
believe the most ridiculous thing, money flowing.
Yeah, and the other thing that comes up before we go take a call is kind of in line with what you were saying earlier about your call is the invitation is for people to do the work and do the work in their personal life and do the work in their community. And how, as you were talking, I thought, you know what? It's such a wonderful example. You had the opportunity. You got exposed to this work in the early ancient Aramaic, and you took advantage of it. That's a key point. You acted on it. And Dale Allen Hoffman says the ancient Aramaic, one of the ways to interpret the word faith from the ancient Aramaic is acting from the rooted center of your being, letting that creative life force express through you from the rooted center and taking action on it. So you took action when you got exposed to the ancient Aramaic, and you never know what good that's going to produce. But one of the many wonderful things it's produced is people like Dale Allen Hoffman, who now continues to study the ancient Aramaic and get deeper and deeper levels of understanding, and all because you had the opportunity, but you actually acted on it. So thank you for that and for the reminder that every day in our lives we have the opportunity to choose love. We have the opportunity to choose to teach only love. And we teach only love by choosing only loving thoughts and by actively removing anything that's less than love from our system. So that's my offering for today.
Awesome. Well, what you trigger for me, Tim, is the recollection of the beatitude that is traditionally translated as blessed are those Let me get my brain there. I started it and my brain just left it.
I'm just
blessed are the peacemakers. Yes, so am I. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So the Greeks translate for us. What the Aramaic translation of that is, or at least one of the translations that comes out of the Kavoris manuscript is, a latent neural structure implanted by God to guide you to happiness and well-being becomes your conscious possession. You who, through service, and there's a big key in that one. That was a big aha for me when I saw that in the Aramaic. Is you who, through service, work effectively to produce the peace and understanding under and in accord with God's will. For you will know the invisible source of creation. You know, the result of that particular beatitude, when we embody it, is that that's the key way to moving into direct relationship, direct rapport with the Creator. And so it's got nothing to do, well, peacemaking would be part of it, but peacemaker is such a small word compared to you who work effectively to produce the peace and understanding under and in accord with love's will. You know, it's just awesome. And, you know, the world sets us in 1,000 different directions. Somebody thinks their job is to make money. Somebody thinks their job is to be in control. Somebody thinks their job is to run other people's lives. And on, gather stuff, you know, on and on goes the list. When if you really want to move into relationship with the Creator directly, work effectively to produce that peace and understanding that is in harmony with love. And it'll come about as a result in your life. And so it's part of the process. It's a key to it. So thanks for triggering those brain cells. And, you know, in harmony with the last few shows, we've talked about the need for people to really get up and do something, to really start to make a contribution, to do what it is that they understand is in accord with that presence of love, to actually move more of their time, intelligence, money, and energy in the direction of that work, because it is so urgent, it is imperative on the earth today that more people move in that direction if we're going to prevent the total loss and destruction of human life on planet Earth, which sadly we're on the verge of doing. You know, we talked about war the last couple of days. I was doing some research after I shared yesterday, we'd watched that film, The Lord of War, and that the five permanent members of the Security Council of the UN are the largest arms dealers in the world. How soon do you suppose each of them is going to be interested in actually securing peace in the world so that their arms trade stops, so that their economies collapse, so that their gun running days are over? How many do you suppose are going to do that? Probably not going to be very many. China, Russia, United States, I forget who the other two are. We invite you, we implore you to become human. We implore you to stop the insanity and heal yourselves. Step back into relationship with the active presence of love. And everybody who's listening to this show, what can you contribute? What can you do to bring that about? As I started to say, I did some research as a result of our conversation yesterday. And right now, while people are talking about how, isn't it, you know, wonderful how things are moving forward, there are 34 active wars on planet Earth, 34 active armed conflicts where people are killing each other. And we've been tricked into calling people who kill other people for us service people. Excuse me, it's not a service. It's a disaster to planet Earth. It's a disaster to human life. It destroys human life, and it's time for us to wake up. Let's take those service people and honor those who've been tricked into thinking that service into really putting them into service. Let's start to serve the poor. Let's start to serve those who need support in this world and bring about a different game on the planet. That's my invitation. You have a thought on that one, Tim?
Well, I hear it, and I'm all for it. I think that... In my particular experience, the best thing I do that gets the best results for me and those around me is to do worksheets, to do the breath work, the tapping, the energy work, to take full responsibility for anger, fear, sadness. If I get triggered to irritation or resentment when you talk about all the wars and we're losing the battle, or if I have, you know, turn on the news and I hear about all of the people that are refugees in Syria and the children that are dying, and if it stirs anything in me other than compassion and a desire to take a loving action to support them in some way, then it's my work to diffuse the anger, the fear, or the sadness before I take action, so that my action can come from that space of the highest and best. Seeing the highest and best.
Amen.
Both of the people who are inflicting pain on others and the people who are receiving the pain. And that's what's created the most positive results in my life and my world over the past 10 years.
Absolutely. And the other, I just did a quick look up. The five who we invite to step into sanity and human life are China, France, Russia, United Kingdom, and the United States. They're the ones who are providing the weapons, and they think that they have to have that economic base in order for their countries to work. And yet, if you look at what happens to those people right now, where the VA tells us that they have track, as I understand it, of about 25% of those who've returned from the Middle East, 25% of the active service people, and that in their tracking 25%, there are 15 of them killing themselves every day, those who've come out of active service. And if the statistics are 25% on those who are being treated, what's the statistic on the other 75%? I don't know. But 15 people a day, we need to service these service people. We need to support these service people. We need to clean up the insanity that leads to the atrocity of war. It's time for it to stop. It's time for us to wake up. And I'm certainly in full agreement with you, Tim, that the requirement is to keep bringing a mind of love and to keep healing our own minds around that insanity, to keep focusing through love on the insanity so that we can begin its dissolution. Those who pretend that if you ignore it, it will go away. I think, I forget who it was that said, all that remains for all that is needed for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. And so many people have been lulled into a false sense of security and, oh, it's all being taken care of and it's no problem. It's a problem. It's a major problem on the planet. 34 wars. It's time for a wake-up, time for people to step forward. And, of course, those little wars that we fight in ourselves, in our relationships, in our communities, in our family systems, they're the wars that need to be cleaned up first and foremost. And so let's check in and see if there's anybody with a hand up. Michelle, do you have anybody that has a question for us? Our call-in number, by the way, is 646-200-4169. If you have a question, call in, push 1. Michelle will know that you're on the switchboard, and she'll be able to cue you in.
So, Michael, thank you. I want to acknowledge that today is the first day of spring and take the liberty wishing Mitzi a very happy eternal birthday. Jack Benny had a quote. It said, age is strictly a case of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. So I thought that would be well wishes for Mitzi today.
Yay for Mitzi. And we'll be talking more as the date approaches on Earth Day. Mitzi has an invitation to love. If you go to Facebook and go into events and type in invitation to love, you'll find an awesome video. Or you can go to www.whyagain.org, and Jeannie's got it right there on the front page, right in the center of the page. She's got an awesome, beautiful, bright heart that she put in as the keyway into the link. Click that link, go to YouTube, watch the video that Mitzi's created with that invitation to love. And we thank you, Mitzi, for your contribution and what you're doing to change the game. And there are just so many awesome people who are stepping forward to change the game on planet Earth.
So, Michael.
So, Michelle.
Sunny's been here, and she's got her hand up, and she's been waiting a minute. So, hi, Sunny. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Say hello. How do you be, young lady? You got
it.
Good. How can we support you today? What's your question for us?
Well, it's a few things here real quick, and I am very much looking forward to participating in Mitzi's event tomorrow myself.
Cool.
Yesterday.
It's not tomorrow. It's not tomorrow. It's not till
not
Earth
tomorrow?
Day. It's not till Earth Day, April
22nd. April 22nd. Very
so it's
good.
Next month, yeah.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Set your alarm on your phone.
Yes.
Set your alarm on your phone. Everybody set your alarm on your phone for April 22nd.
Yes. We've had a change.
So you have a question for us.
I had a question, per se, from yesterday's show to support and encourage with ideas. The idea of getting this stuff out to the children, with this Facebook thing, so many children are left to pretty much raise themselves, and they're absorbed into their phones and on Facebook. And I don't know if there's some way that we could get the children's material out into its own little thing instead of a person digging through the entirety of the Why Again and really just kind of putting that out there, because if any child trips onto that out of curiosity, and I myself have a lot of children who are on my friends list, little kids and, you know, the siblings of my daughter's friends and so on, they like me, so they're friends with me on Facebook. And if I can post that and get that into these the hands of these children in any way, I think Facebook would be a very very strong, powerful tool to do that. And
so have you gone to the Why Again site? Have you gone to the Why Again site and copied the My Promise and put it on Facebook yet?
I haven't been able to find it until yesterday.
Oh,
the information,
okay.
The information you offered yesterday,
okay,
will make that much more doable. And I've not had a minute in my schedule,
okay,
to go in and do that as of yet. The canceling the goal thing.
Were you doing that?
I'm sorry? I didn't hear you.
I would support you doing it. If you found it yesterday on Facebook and you think that's the path for you to travel to help to get the work out, then I'd suggest that before the show is over, you go. It'll take a grand total of about 45 seconds to cut and paste I Am Somebody and My Promise and post it on Facebook.
Right.
A minute and a half.
I know you've
got that much time. So
right, and I know
it.
That we have.
Go for it.
Now I know the titles to look for. I appreciated that from yesterday's show. And then, as I say, just any way that we can just kind of narrow it down and get it right directly when the book is released again, and anything that Julie might be willing to do.
Do it.
Okay. The next
do
thing
it.
Is on this canceling the goal. I will. I am. I will. On this canceling the goal, that is still an ongoing work of really, for me, of feeling that I'm really, really fully canceling my goals and I guess understanding it. I don't know if it's just the willingness to speak forth that we release, that we let it go, or over time, Michael, does that just come that you feel it and that you know you have fully released the goal?
Well, the rule that I apply to it is what I like to call rule of the three Ps, which is practice, practice, practice.
Uh-huh.
You can't figure it out. So understanding it, forget it. You know, carbon-based memory plays this game of what it understands. Carbon-based memory can't understand a darn thing. It's not capable of understanding any more than any computer is capable. All it is a function of the storage of information and the firing off of that information. Forget about trying to get it to understand it. Just do it. So when I find myself in a situation where I have agitation, fear, rage, guilt, grief, pain in any way, shape, or form pointed at some object of attention, the driver for that upset, the thing that activates that inside of me and causes me to project that on a particular object of attention is, number one, that content is inside of me. Number two, a goal that I hold has resonated that content. And number three, because I'm in denial and dissociation of that content, I make pictures of other people out of it in my mind, and they show up in my mind with my problem attached. And I really think it's their problem. So figuring it out won't get you anywhere. But when you start locating the goal that you hold for the object of attention you're focused on, self, others, situation, any person, place, thing, or event, past, present, future, living or dead, including yourself, look at that object of attention. What is it I want from them? Oh, I want Charlie to, you know, start treating Mary more gently in the way he talks to her. You know, I have these friends, Charlie and Mary. And Charlie just has such a sharp tone with Mary. So my goal is I want Charlie to speak more gently to Mary. So I have agitation over the way Charlie speaks to Mary. What's the problem? Is it the way Charlie speaks to Mary? Is it the way Mary responds? Absolutely not. That's all a belief system based on denial and dissociation. I have agitation because I have agitation, probably because I stored that energy and or it was in my genetics from when somebody in my bloodline spoke that way to me or to one of my ancestors. So the way I access the hidden part of my mind that I otherwise cannot touch is I cancel my goal. It looks like the problem's out there, but the feeling that the challenge is in here. How do I access that feeling directly? I cancel my goal for Charlie to speak to Mary lovingly. I cancel that, I breathe, I let go of that, and I invite Ruka into the part of my mind that holds the frustration that I feel that I've been blaming Charlie for. Now, if I've set love in my mind, which is basically step four in the worksheet, once I cancel that, and that dissociated content that's been hidden in my mind is allowed to surface directly rather than surfacing as a projection into my brain's image of Charlie and Mary, when it's allowed to surface directly in the presence of love, and maybe that's the practice you want to do, is bringing forward that active space of love. Remember the first time you held your daughter. Strengthen the ability to hold and keep to that energy and that space when you cancel that goal for Charlie. Then the frustration, the fear, the rage, the guilt, the grief, whatever it is that comes up in the presence of active love will begin to dissolve. That's how it works. If you don't understand that, that's okay. It took me 30 years to get to comprehend that that's what Yeshua was telling us 2,000 years ago. But here's the key. You don't have to understand how it works to use it. You know, I don't have to understand how the ignition in the car and the drivetrain and the engine and the gasoline and the electric, I don't have to understand anything about that. I just need to turn the key and drive the car. Cancel the goal. Set love in your mind first. Cancel the goal. And then breathe and let whatever comes up, come up. And then Yeshua taught us that, 2,000 years ago taught us, that there was an elemental force in us that if we invited it into activity, would be the equivalent in our language today of the super processor, would be the power that could reach right down to our genetic toes and free us from those energies so that we could look at Charlie and Mary in the worst moment they could possibly have, and we would be the space of love for Charlie and Mary. That's what's going to help and support. If Charlie and Mary are in healing, in a willing space to heal, that's what's going to begin their healing process. Me sitting back in frustration, insisting Charlie talk differently, will not change one thing in a positive direction as long as it's coming from my frustration. So again, let go of figuring it out. Practice, practice, practice. And, you know, when they said to Yeshua, how many of these damn worksheets, how many times do we have to cancel this goal? How many times do we have to forgive? Is seven times enough? And Yeshua says in Aramaic, 77 times 70. An infinite number of times until you are finished with that issue. And that might mean, and I've found myself doing this, I speak from experience, that I might have to cancel a goal two, three, four, five times a minute. If I'm in the middle of my muddle and somebody's doing something that's triggering me, I might cancel it, and I cancel it again, and 30 seconds later, I'm canceling it again, and 10 seconds later, I'm canceling again until I get to the deepest roots of what I've been hiding from myself. And there's where the healing happens.
I thank you, Michael. I want to share with you very briefly. The question was inadvertently asked because I just felt you in that presence of where the shows have been going as of late. I'll have my daughter and another 14-year-old girl in the car for a two-hour drive this afternoon, and this radio show will be pulled up in the archives. I think this is, in fact, the perfect timing and catalyst for my daughter.
Cool.
I'm here and needed to hear exactly every word of what you just said so beautifully and eloquently. You are a gift to all of life, and I cannot thank you enough. My daughter.
Well, don't we all need to hear it over and over and over again, for sure.
Yes, and this is so perfectly put today. I believe she will be able to hear it, feel it, and make the independent choice for herself at her age to determine where she goes from here. Because she's...
Cool. Well, you know we are holding the space for her and for you.
Yes, I thank you very much. And every prayer is
all right.
Appreciated. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Love and blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Cool. Good question. Good question. it's always fun to go back to that core, because it's so silly to cancel a good goal. I mean, just how ridiculous is that? I only want Charlie to speak in a decent way to Mary. What's wrong with that? Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But there is a problem if that goal causes your mind to use some form of hostility or fear to cloud the object of attention that you're focusing on. And so canceling the goal is a big piece of the puzzle. And I thank Yeshua for bringing that understanding 2,000 years ago. And I certainly thank Dan McDougall for the opportunity to work with the Kavoris manuscript and bring this forward to the world. It's awesome. So, Michelle.
So, Michael.
Talk to Tim. Any comments, any thoughts? Go for it.
Julie from Ashland.
Go for it, Michelle.
Okay. Julie.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Thank you. Great. Okay. Hey, Michael, you're on a roll.
Hey there, young lady. We can hear you loud and clear. Welcome.
Good. Thank you. I am putting my faith into action. And I'd like to offer this to others to do also in the context of what you were discussing about war and 34 wars. I had no idea there were 34 wars, but I have had a feeling and a belief that we are really at war with each other and ourselves, and there's, you know, and so there's a way to heal it. And I think a worksheet on war or... And I'm going to design it. I just did while I was listening to you and Sunny, and I'm going to offer it. A way for us to look into the whole issue of war and how does that pertain to our own personal goals and our own personal perceptions. And I think a good time to do this is at the end of at least doing one regular worksheet, your no-fault reality management worksheet. So, because then we're open. And we're in the space of having opened our mind, and we can actually be in charge of asking our mind for the information, for it to reveal to us in what way, I'm going to read this now, in what way has the goal that I've been holding kept me in blame of the wars on our planet as the fault of others? How are these energies I am now aware of similar to my perception of the energies of war? And how am I giving my faith, my actual core root energy and commitment, and I've called that energetic devotion at other times, how am I giving that to the goals of war, which have been set for me by others? So one thing that came up for me is that we tend to have fear and belief in the need of outside protection and how we're defining that, what that's going to look like in our world. And as we do this work, we're going to be shifting that in ourselves. So when we ask them to change, those five heads of the UN, I think, that you named, I was shocked the other day when you told me that,
actually,
but I had a feeling. Yeah?
Yeah. Actually, it's the five permanent heads of the UN Security Council, the five countries that are the permanent heads, and they are the biggest arms dealers in the world, all five of them.
Okay. Okay, so it's the whole nation or the heads of those nations.
Well, if you look at the arms industry in the United States, there'd be literally, if it collapsed tomorrow, there'd be millions without jobs. I think we need to creatively get about how can we create a livelihood and support for those millions who'd be without jobs, because there are millions of people making their livelihood from killing other people.
Okay,
so
yeah,
we need
that's
to get,
a good
we
point.
Need to be creative, for sure. Creative.
So we're too reliant
and
on war.
All the money that we're spending in that regard, we can stop spending in that direction and put in another constructive direction that constructs and builds our world rather than destroys our world, that supports life instead of destroys life.
Okay, so that is our goal. That's a good goal. And, you know, the steps along the way are to clear out anything unlike that in ourselves, because there's still this tendency, because it looks so big, those five nations of Russia, China, U.S., France, and I'm not sure who the other one was, but that looks
Great
big
Britain.
And overwhelming. Huh?
The fifth one is Great Britain.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. So that just looks big and overwhelming and impossible, but it's not. I mean, if we apply our work as we see it is working and bringing about results in our immediate world or in our immediate lives, in our immediate reflection of our daily life, then that is the way to change the resonance. And rather than, you know,
got it.
It's good to expose them. It's good to expose them and show that they're out there and they have their agenda and they are a they out there. And then we can look and see how are those energies, how are our energies similar to those energies when we do our worksheets. So, you know, it's kind of like one of those
Absolutely.
Breakthrough Wednesdays. You know, let's add this to our list of maybe doing a little mind shifter or something at the end of our worksheet or just starting a whole new worksheet, but maybe just bringing this context to the forefront with all of our focus and energetic faith. You know, to undo it.
Cool, cool.
So,
and we hold the space
you.
Of support for you. We know that your dear friend Ed passed away recently, and we certainly hold the space for him. And as he moves to the light, and you, as you deal with any energetic influences left over that need to be cleared out, we're here to hold the space.
Well, how'd you know that? That's been going on, yes. I have had a lot of letting go and awarenesses. And just, you know, it's amazing. I have had an experience of him doing the same final undoing of how our energies were intertwined, and but with love. You know, it's just he's really removing anything unlike love. He's surrounded by it. So are we. So am I. And I do feel a lifting going on, and it's beautiful. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for that input, and we'll all pop in and do some worksheets on war, and whether they're interpersonal, whether they're verbal, mental, emotional, whatever they are, and holding a different space. So, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Nice work.
Thank you for bringing it up.
All right.
All right. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Julie from Ashland, Oregon. And so, Michelle, anything happening in the chat room that we need to be aware of, or any hands up in the phone queue?
Nobody's waiting with their hand up right now. There's about 7 minutes left in our stream, and Payson and I are just chatting along here about creativity and consciousness and being true to yourself, et cetera.
Cool. Well, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And if there's no hand up, of course, you can call in and you'd be next in line. So if you have a question for us or a thought on any of the topics we're discussing, on that forgiveness process or on the bringing of peace to the planet, the bringing of the healing to the minds who think they can only survive with their war instruments, then let's wake it up and call in. Give us a shout. Dr. Tim, do you have anything to add to the conversation?
Well, I'm not sure I can add anything, but I certainly want to agree with Julie's idea. I think it's a fabulous idea. Routinely, when I'm talking with people and if they've been exposed to the worksheet process and they know it, and they're doing one or three or five worksheets a day, and then they come up with an issue that's one of their 77 times 70 worksheet issues or forgiveness issues, I frequently suggest that however many worksheets are going to do a day, at least one of them is about that special issue. And so if we have people listening who've committed to do two or three or five worksheets a day, maybe they want to, you know, join us in the commitment to do one worksheet a day on the war issue. That's a wonderful idea. Because we're all deeply affected by it, whether we're living in a war zone or not.
For sure, yeah. Well, and in fact, the whole world has become a war zone. You know, even if there's no conflict happening, I think that the reflection in the major cities of America where these gangs and these killings are a reflection of the energy of war on the planet, the belief and the adherence to that's the only way to stay safe is all part of the problem. And when we can shift that energy, that's when the game changes. So we're certainly here to change the game. And I want to acknowledge, and actually my mind isn't there at the moment, but we talked yesterday and the idea of Breakthrough Wednesdays came through. But Julie had another word for us. And Julie, if you're with us, maybe you could tap in. I apologize. I don't remember what the word was, but you had a suggestion of moving beyond breakthrough to something else that was just right on track. Of course, we could call it Healing Wednesdays, and every day is about healing. That's what we're here to support. But Julie, you had a key word, and maybe if you're there, you'd push one and share it with us. And other than that, we're down to the last 5 minutes, so we've got time for a caller. If
and
you
Michael,
were sitting in the audience when go ahead.
Well, there was also another suggestion to add a word to the worksheet, and I can't remember what that is, but it's resonated a few times recently. Instead of just the reality management worksheet, whether it was Magda or Julie, somebody else had another word to
add
to
that. It was Julie that suggested stress. Stress be added to the title, and if you go to the worksheet, to the website, you'll find the latest version of the worksheet, which is now called Stress Reality Management, stress/reality management. There's also one other minor change in the worksheet, and down below in number 7, we've added, besides Rachma, you know, setting the filters, perfect love, we've added gratitude in that 7th step. So inviting people to step into a space of gratitude with each other is part of the invitation in the worksheet now. So we've actually got 2 word changes on the latest version, and it is on the website. So it'll be the first new version of 2014. How cool is that? We got through 3 months without making a change. So that's pretty cool. Almost 3 months. And so we're down to about 3 minutes. We'll just say at this point we are working here in Costa Rica still. We're holding the space that a workshop is going to come together in Montezuma. There's some folks working on that, and if it does, then we'll move from the part of the country that we're in, which is down near Quepos and Dominical, which is where the new Heartland South location will be if all that comes together. And that's still, you know, we're holding the space for that. We're kind of putting the blocks in place. We're actually, as soon as we finish the show, we're heading over, and if everybody would just beam some energy to the property and to our walking the property, that it all fits and falls into place, it certainly appears to be a perfect space for exactly what we want to create as Heartland South. So we'd invite everybody to hold that space and be watching for that project moving forward. And if things open up, we'll be over in Montezuma. So if you happen to know anybody, if you're listening to the show from Montezuma, Costa Rica, then we invite you to make contact with us. And if you can help put together an audience there, then we'll be making a drive through the creeks and the roads of backwoods Costa Rica to Montezuma, which is a pretty cool little town here, and be doing another Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. If that doesn't occur, then once we complete our time here, we'll be flying out of Costa Rica on the 28th of March and flying into Las Vegas, Nevada. So we're flying in there on a Friday, and then in Henderson, Nevada, we'll be starting a 6-day series of Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshops Sunday afternoon. Okay, thank you, sir. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, free workshops. Saturday, an all-day Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. That's at Unity of the Valley in Las Vegas. And then we'll be moving to a second Unity Church, which is up more toward the center of town, and doing another week of complimentary workshops. So feel free to join us there. We'll be heading from there to Pahrump, Nevada, to be doing some things there and looking at the possibility of an intensive, and then heading up to the Tri-City area of Washington State. So join us, jump on the website, catch those flyers, spread them around. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and give the best gift you can possibly give to the world. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.